Okay, is everyone done now? Is it, who's still writing? Anyone writing still? Very good. Okay, so let's go ahead and open it up. If there's something that that caught your attention, that you're like, this was interesting. I didn't think this was going to come up, or I didn't know I was going to feel this way, or if anybody wants to share something that stood out to you.
But you can't all talk at the same time.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Nothing stood out. I had already had a feeling of what I was like before I was born. Anyways, so it just reinforced it. This is what I was like before I was born.
Oh, go ahead.
So I have absolutely no memory of remembering anything, but when I went to answer the questions, I started writing, which I thought was interesting.
That is interesting.
Because no memory of having experience. I went so deep that there's no conscious memory.
Yeah.
You should have told us to remember everything.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you say that?
Right now? No, before you
were
guys
asleep.
Oh, before
just
we started?
Up.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
You did say it right at the end.
What we can do is this, is my challenge to everyone here is to review what you already wrote down and just see if anything else opens up. If everyone can just for just one more minute, just close your eyes. I'm just going to help you guys with something real quick. Okay, so everyone just close your eyes real quick. Just for 1 minute. Everything that you experienced inside the womb will be perfectly remembered in the next days, tonight, tomorrow, and if it's important to you, in your dreams. So keep this folder close to you so that if you wake up, you can write everything down. And the reason why we did this is so that you may know more about yourself, because this is what your Creator would want for you. The Creator wants you to remember who you are, that you're loved, that you're looked after, and that you're here for a reason. And that any blocks or limitations that is keeping you from continuing to create this molecule may be eradicated by tonight. You are part of this family, part of this group. That anything negative that goes towards that idea, it may make that statement stronger. That you are part of this family, that you are part of the molecule. Every time you walk under a corridor or any door, that mission will continue to increase. All right, you can open up your eyes. Let's end with this. Last time we did the Aramaic prayer, I think it's just a good way to end things.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I think there was one typo, correct?
Yeah.
Was that the end?
Walk the whole last sentence.
Okay. Yeah. Where is it?
All
hall. Okay, so guys, everyone see that? Made whole once again. It's not made hall. Okay? So let's do that real quick. Everyone turn to that page. We're good? Good. All right, we'll start. O cosmic birther of all radiance and vibration, soften the ground of our being and carve out a space within us where your presence can abide. Fill us with your creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of your mission. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance with our desire. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. Untie the tangled threads of destiny and bind us, as we release others from the entanglement of past mistakes. Do not let us be seduced by that which would divert us from true purpose, but illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. For you are the ground and the fruitful vision, the birth, power, and fulfillment, as all is gathered and made whole once again. So it is. Amen. And repeat this after me. I am love.
I am love.
We are love.
We are love.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, guys.
You are love. They are love.
Karaoke?
Are we going to go over the responses at all?
Emmanuel, are we going to go over the responses at all?
I thought he tried to.
You got a trial or harvest.
Wait, this could be a chart really
far. Are you guys, somebody want to share? Or? It'd be great if you guys
just
want to share.
Just start calling on
some
people.
I'll share, why not? I was finishing up writing.
Yeah, you were running, a lot.
Yeah, I know, because I was transcribing all the questions into my notebook as well, so it took me longer. Just one of the basic things, it was really intense for me. I feel like I could feel, for me a lot of it was actually like a lot of constriction.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine like being in the womb and the small body and everything, like I could feel my body right now just like, not like tearing or pulling, but like just really energetically tense,
mm-hmm.
As if I was being like stuffed
mm-hmm.
into it. So a lot of it was actually kind of uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
for me, but yeah, that's all I'll say right now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Anybody else want to?
I wonder why I don't remember anything.
Why?
I felt I like passed out, and only when you guided us back to wake up, I returned and woke up. As in, within your guidance, but
you went too deep.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah, but I feel like I was not there, not here at all, and I don't remember anything.
Yeah, that in a group format, it's very interesting because it's like there's too many people for me to monitor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, like if it was just you and me, I would find a way to kind of like bring you back up because I would probably say something like open up your eyes or say something. And if you were still kind of like asleep, I would do something to get you back up. And then you're like, oh, and then I wouldn't say anything. I would just keep going. And then,
when people go deep under hypnosis anyway, they don't remember anything. That's why you need to tell them at the end of it.
To remember.
Rather than the beginning, because at the beginning, they're not under you.
Yeah.
But at the end, when they're under, then tell them and unless they're under normal sleep, they'll remember pretty good normally.
Yeah. And by the way, I did do I put you guys in a little healing room for 12 hours. And for those of you who couldn't remember, like in those 12 hours of removing any blocks, you guys can try to remember it by tomorrow. So we'll see what happens, So just keep that close to you.
I had a number of impressions.
Cool impressions that you want to share to everyone because you're cool like that?
Yeah, well,
it takes a lot to extract things from you sometimes.
Well, it just felt nice and warm to be in my mother's womb, and it didn't really feel like cramp, but it was tight but comfortable. Could feel my mother's heartbeat and a sense of my mother's presence. And my mom was a little nervous about me being pregnant because her doctor told her that it could be fatal for her life if she had one more kid. My dad was nonchalant about it. You know, he didn't pay much attention except when I was born. So I did choose my parents to that they would be first stimulate me in the way that I needed, and but I chose my family because of karma and past life associations, and that they were right for this life. In the time in history, the cycles were right. And my body, I don't think I paid much attention to it in the womb, but it just seemed okay. And spend your time waiting to be born. I feel like I probably slip a lot. And tuning into my mom and what she was going through.
Thanks for sharing that. Sometimes when I'm doing this for a client, they won't feel their dad or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I can't feel my dad. Like, I don't feel his presence at all, you know? And well,
my dad was kind of strange that way. He was he didn't pay attention to a lot of things outside of what he was into.
Into, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, So there's a reason why sometimes, you know, if you don't feel your mom's presence, you know, what was your mom going through that time where her attention was diverted to other things? You know, there could have been moving that was happening, or she lost her job recently, or, you know, so to think about that little one in a way, she was thinking of outside things. So the thought didn't come towards you, you know. There was this one time, this is a body code session, but it's kind of interesting. I found a shock at third trimester on someone, and the lady like doubted me. She was like, my mom had a perfect birth and everything was fine. And I'm like, I don't know. It says third trimester shock, you know? So I don't know what that's all about. And, I'm going to go talk to my mom and find what's going on. So I was like, yeah, go ahead. And so she went back to her mom and she's like, hey, did anything happen third trimester? And she's like, who have you been talking to? And she's like, oh, this energy healer guy, whatever. She's like, do you remember how I told you how your dad was always at work all the time? Did I remember how I told you that? And she's like, yeah. She's like, well, I was lying to you on your early part of your life. Your dad tried to stab me in the third trimester. And so he went to jail. So he was gone. That's why he was really gone. And so it proved her. She came back to me. She's like, I guess you're right. There was a shock third trimester. My mom was about to get stabbed. She didn't get stabbed. She was...
attempted.
Yeah. He was trying to. Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
That would do it.
Yeah. Because, you know, like me, I have no biasness towards that person. What does it do for me to find a third trimester shock? Like, you know?
I want to make that up.
Yeah, I want to make that up. Do I get a lottery ticket if I, you know? So I just care about the person, and it was affecting her somehow, you know? So, but there's some certain Asian cultures where they understand that the baby absorbs emotions from the mom. So sometimes they take sabbaticals from the husband to go, hey, you go on this side of the house, I'll stay over here, because you give me drama, and this baby's getting programmed. And so they eat healthier, they meditate more. But we all know in American culture, you know, moms are being thrown, you know, to and fro, and job stress, relationship stress, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then the baby is absorbing stuff, and we're wondering why that 5-year-old is depressed and angry or whatever. It's because they just absorb all this stuff. So, and then I saw this very graphic video of like some women beating up a woman who was pregnant this one time, and I couldn't unsee it, you know? And I remember going like, that baby is going to have a really hard time. Oh, and by the way, last story has to do with energy healing too. There was this one guy that I worked on where I found all these heart walls, all this heart trauma around his heart. And every time I looked at it, I thought my muscle testing was getting off. I was like, it's all third trimester, second trimester, third trimester, second trimester. And I'm like, this is just so weird. I'm like, where is regular heart walls? Like that are like age 4, age 7. There were a few, but it was like a lot of trimester stuff. And I said, hey, I just want you to know, like, I'm clearing his heart wall, but it's all in the trimester time. And then she's like, I'm clearing your son's heart wall. He's like, oh, remember, it's not my son. I was like,
oh my gosh.
Oh, wait a minute. Like, so, oh yeah, he's adopted. And I was like, oh, he's adopted. It's like, who's the mom? And she's like, oh, she was a drug addict and her husband used to beat her up all the time. So that baby was just taking the hits, and every time that mom felt an emotion, that kid was putting it over his heart to protect his heart. But then, anyway, just
you're the observer.
Anyway. So, what's interesting is they went to church after I cleared his heart wall, and he was like, his head was down. He just didn't want to be there, and she started rubbing his back, and then he's like, get off me, Mom. And then she felt bad, and then he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean to do that. And she told me, she's like, that's the first time he's ever said sorry, because he actually felt something. When you have a heart wall, you're desensitized. You do things mean to people. You don't feel anything. So for the first time when he did it, he was just like, wait, that's not right. And I feel my mom's pain. So anyway, anybody else want to share anything else? Thank you for sharing, by the way. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else want to share anything?
Well, I just felt close to my mom all the way back. And my parents met when my mom was like 17, my dad was 21, and my dad knew my mom earlier in life when she was like 13, and he looked at her and he said, you know, I'm going to marry you. And he did. He married her, and they lived happily on the ranch, you know, till I was 10. But I had a very close relationship mostly with my dad, but this brought me closer to my mom too, which was good. I had a good relationship with both of them, but I was closer to my dad. But in this meditation, I also had a closer developed relationship with my mom.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So kind of like woke that part up too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you spend so much more time with your mom in your womb than your dad. He's just around every once in a while. So you feel that closeness when you're in the womb, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't connected to my dad then.
Yeah, the whole idea of like, with babies, that, you know, you see moms talking to their babies. You know, it's like, that's all like, it sounds kind of hokey, but it's a real thing. That baby is listening to everything and hearing everything. It's way more intelligent than, you know, we're way more intelligent in there than we think.
See, and I kept all these first things that I wrote until I heard you talk was not sure, cramped sometimes, not sure. Because, it was just not a good experience for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a high likelihood in that situation where, similar to when kids don't have a block in memory, it might have been better that you were outside the womb. So that question where I said, were you there or did you go somewhere else? People who have very tough womb situations, they safely go out. And there's another place they go to until it's safe to come back. And usually sometimes if it's that bad, it's only when you actually, you know, come out of the mom and then you're there, you know. Because
yeah,
my
I think I remember being born or not wanting to be born. Because I didn't want to be in the womb, and I didn't want to be born either. I didn't even want to be on Earth, I don't think.
Wouldn't you like being here now with us?
Well, I do now.
I knew that. I knew he was going to say that.
I knew it.
Kirsten would be like, "What's like? Life is amazing now. Look at me."
But I was breech. I kept flipping around.
Yeah.
giving your mom's a hard time even then.
Yeah. But, you know, because I, you know, how do you feel? I'm sure. Because my mom had had her, all of her children. And then 10 years later, you know, here I come along, and I don't think my mom was at all happy about it. And my dad wasn't at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
he was happy
about
it
either.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm happy about it.
So that's why all these things were, you know, not positive.
Yeah, and it's, again, like, we all chose, if we were to go, there is a hypnosis called life before life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you'd probably realize that you knew that you were going to have that type of womb experience, you know, and it's going to mean something to you in the future, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Emmanuel, the I'm kind of dense, and you probably explained this at the beginning.
Yeah.
Why did we do this? Are we, and I'm not being confrontative, I'm like, you're trying to help us to heal in some way, I'm gathering. Like, we're trying to go get to a point potentially where we see things that may have happened in the womb,
yes,
that, you know,
right,
that set us on a course for, in some way that maybe we need to change or recognize. How would you describe this? What in some of the success stories of clients that you've done this with, like what are you seeing?
Well, the big thing is that most people really feel that their parents were their biggest obstacle to finding themselves. You know, like in some ways, parents can be a hindrance. And so the dialogue inside of them changes when they realize they chose their parents. So everything that you did not like about your mother and father was the exact type of DNA or character that you needed to grow. So the person now, my client now, is not a victim of their parents anymore. They are now a person who chooses, and they say, wow, okay, so I chose them. So another thing is, we come here, and then the reason why we pass away 2 years after retirement, when anyone retires, is the statistic is when you retire, typically a person lives only for 2 years. Why is that? Because they believe that they're their job. They kind of identify too much with something earthly. And so when it ends, why am I even here anymore? You know? And when you say here, like, why are you really here? You'll realize it's not like to become a teacher or to become a great app developer for politics or to become whatever. It's like, this is the life where I learn how to love, or this is the life where I learn how to forgive, or this is the life where I learn how to accept different types of people. You know, it's like, it's kind of a cool little one sentence thing that's like, this is what I should really focus on. And everything in my life is just an appendage of it, you know? So it makes it, life is more fun when you focus on a sentence of something you're supposed to do, then everything else is just kind of like to lift your gifts and talents up higher. So it's, I really believe like this one sentence is perspective brings peace. Like if you have a different perspective that you chose to come here, there's a reason why you're here with your parents. There's a reason why you're here in this world right now. So a lot of people say like, oh, I wish I was born at a different time. No, you chose this time for a special reason. You knew there was going to be internet. You knew you were going to get your voice out. You knew you were going to, you could write books easier. You know, you could, you know, there's a reason why you came here. So it's, again, it's just to solidify you that you're not a victim of any circumstance you've dealt with.
I would just like to make a comment also that I recognize this in Emmanuel, that he's doing this so that we can help create the molecule faster, I believe. There's things that he is able to do that a lot of us can't do on our own. I would never, you know, probably choose to do a womb regression on my own.
Yeah.
But it is helpful to know, you know, kind of the reasons you're doing that. I can see why you spend the time that you do, especially with us, because it's, you're helping us take that next step that a lot of us need. So I appreciate that.
No, and to go, just to kind of go a little bit farther, even though my mom probably was kind of I would say, not real thrilled that she had her her oldest daughter, and then my older brother, and my oldest sister, my older sister, and then all of a sudden, here I come along. Then I go on to say, you know, why did you choose these parents? Well, because my dad was a wonderful dad, and he was really loving, and he was a great father to me, and, you know, my mom was a good mom, and I had a stepmom, so I was really fortunate, you know. So, you know, even though maybe my womb experience wasn't great, you know, unlike, you know, I think I was born at a really super good time period.
And probably JJ would agree that whatever you did in your past life to somehow get these good parents, you know,
I feel really fortunate. Yeah. You know, I mean, really fortunate. And fortunate enough that, you know, I'm glad I was born in the 50s and was young in the 70s.
You were born way back then?
Now, Rain has a pretty good subject for hypnosis. She might come up with something good if you want to interrogate her a little bit. What?
Emmanuel, you that was what? A really kind
did,
response
did you get some things
to Tyler,
up?
But we know what you really wanted to say to him as well, Tyler. We're really trying to help you not be so dense.
I would never go.
No, that's you.
It's those glasses, those nose colored glasses.
Well, you know,
Susan's got her hand up. She's also a pretty good subject.
So, I didn't remember anything, but like I said, I started writing. And one of the things that I was writing was that I wasn't very much in the womb.
Yeah.
That I was gone a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how violent it was when my mother was pregnant with me. It just, there was so much violence there that it actually frightened me.
Yeah.
Like, my life was in danger several times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense because what's beautiful is that the work that I do with body code corroborate with hypnosis really well. So, for example, like, if you're going through a lot of stress with your partner, and let's say like, or maybe you've been sick, you get stressed with your partner, whatever. I don't know how to describe this, but like your spirit has a tendency to like eke out of the physical body, you know? Mm-hmm. Dr. Brad, my friend, he said when he went to the hospital once, he saw a spirit hanging from the toe of a person, kind of like just kind of like barely hanging onto the person's body. And he got into a really bad car accident and his body was failing. So his spirit was just barely hanging in there. And then that's when he got the download of the concept. It's like, so spirit does leave body due to either some certain trauma that they're going through. So when I work with people and they feel like, you know, there's certain people where they wake up and their body's heavy and there's, and the best way to describe it, it's like they're dragging their body around. Like everything is just drudgery and dread. There's a high likelihood that they've been through some stuff and now their spirit's like halfway at their body. So I have to slowly remove the trauma and get their spirit back. And then all of a sudden, the next day, their energy is like, it's like the hands in the glove again. You know, they're just kind of normal. So in your case, it's like it made sense for safety purposes, you had to leave.
Right.
And your spirit's like, I don't want to feel this.
I guess it's quite disturbing to me to realize how violent it was. Like it makes me, what I got a real strong taste of is that I needed to protect my mother.
Mm-hmm.
That she was in a lot of danger. That it was very... I mean, the story I was told is that I was a happy surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think my dad was trying to kill her at some point.
Yeah.
What kind of dad was he as he grew up? Did he, was he violent?
He's a violent multi-personality.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have been doing anything. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty disturbing to have...
To go in there, yeah.
To go in there. It's like, that's probably why I don't remember it.
Yeah. And again, it's like a... It's interesting how your body either one could be leaving the physical body, but the second one could be your mind, your subconscious is like, I don't want you to really consciously remember this time because, you know, this happened to me, you know. So there's some times in my childhood that are kind of black, you know. And but then like you have to kind of interview my mom and be like, what's going on back there? Because I know you're a nice lady. So what's going on? You know, and then she told me about my dad and my grandpa. I was like, got it. Like they were doing certain things that maybe were just a little bit too tough on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mind didn't feel safe. So it's like, it's just delete that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, where is my child? Like, and when I look at photos, I feel like it's like a foreign kid. It's like, who is that kid? Like, you know, but again, it was all for my safety. The subconscious's main business is just to keep you safe. So it'll do anything in its power to say, like, for example, you guys know people who they try to release weight and they can't release weight. They do everything right. They eat right, everything. They're just like, I can't, you know. I have to work on them and say, do you feel safe to release weight? And their body says no. And the reason why is because couple things. There's two things. One is they create trauma trying to remove weight and being discouraged. So there's trauma in the process of trying to lose weight. And the second reason is because when they lost their weight, if they were to lose weight again and go back in time, they attracted the narcissist boyfriend that caused them a lot of trauma. And their subconscious says, whenever you release weight, you attract the wrong person. So I don't feel safe to lose weight. So it's just interesting things.
So stay heavy and you'll be safe.
Exactly. It's a safety mechanism.
Oh,
that's all it is.
Right.
You don't attract the wrong guy. So stuff like that.
That makes 100%
yeah.
Sense.
So you stay thin and you'll be safe.
Anybody else want to share anything?
Well, my parents were very loving. I had a very beautiful childhood. And I came into a family that aided me in my spiritual progression. And my mother brought all kinds of things for me to read. And she used to sing songs to me when I was really bit small and read Bible stories and introduced me to a lot of things that were the beginning steps of my spiritual education. So I had a beautiful family.
That's awesome.
My father was kind of, he had a temper, but he knew what we needed to learn and he was going to make sure we learned it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, some people, and you would know this too, JJ, like, there's these lives that are kind of like, I'm trying to remember what they're called. They're called like resting lives. Like, so you, if you had a very tumultuous past life where it was like just very tough, tumultuous, then sometimes you'll choose a resting life where it's like the next life is just very easy. You're just coasting. You probably have a friend that's like, man, they just have such an easy life or whatever,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. There's a high likelihood that the life before that was rough.
Well, my life wasn't necessarily easy on my own. I mean, I chose challenges that were kind of difficult.
And now you're here, and you're so happy.
Right. I understand the meaning of it.
Yeah. Hindsight.
That's what I call a Sabbath life, but...
Sabbath life.
It's, even the Sabbath life isn't really easy. You'll have your troubles, but it sounds like you could be having a Sabbath, though, with good parents and everything.
We would need some kind of challenge, if nothing else, to keep us interested. Otherwise, you'd be bored and wouldn't be happy at all. So to have a Sabbath life, you've got to have challenge. Just an easy challenge, or easier. So would you call the spirit leaving the body, wouldn't, like a psychologist, call that disassociation?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's that's a deep word, disassociation. That's a whole other hour I need to unpack, but I'd say it's just safety, because some people interchangeably use subconscious and spirit as the same. They kind of use it kind of back and forth.
Okay.
And again, so the subconscious would have to leave, or the spirit would have to leave for a moment just to not be, you know, under that situation you're dealing with.
But disassociation would be a mental break.
Yeah, mental break, like a conscious mental break. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But spirit leaving the body is something that the spirit does to keep from being harmed.
Yeah, from being harmed, yeah.
So,
and usually sometimes when you leave the body, it doesn't mean you might be going to a place to study. Like in Bryn's... why'd you say it? Why'd you find it?
No, I had that come up. For me, I was, like, the only time I left the area of my body was to, like...
Learn.
Go learn and then bring me back and then do something different.
Yeah, Bryn talks about that in her book, how where you leave is really interesting, because some people, they're, like, on different planets, and they're, like, planting different things, and, like, they're, like, almost like a planetary geologist, and they're just, like... Ah, this is so much fun. Or it's like, oh wait, I gotta go back to my body that's on Earth. And they go back, you know? And they have this love for, like, nature and Earth, and they wonder why. But it's because that's what they were kind of doing in a different situation, you know? So, or if they're studying, you know, and then you come back and you become a very studious, intellectual person, like yourself with glasses. Anyway. Okay, anybody else want to share and what you experienced? All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you. And everyone have a good night.
Okay, let's give them a hand.